This is Scott Becker with the Becker Group Women's Leadership Podcast, part of the Scott Becker Business Podcast Series. I'm thrilled today to be joined by a leader, an author, the founder of a business, Cy Wakeman. Cy, thank you so much for joining us. Can you take a moment to introduce yourself?
Absolutely. As you covered, I am a New York Times bestseller. I'm an author of three books, but my claim to fame, I'm a drama researcher. I research how much drama there is in the workplace and how we can diffuse it in leadership.
And talk to us about that, because you see certain company cultures where there's so much drama, so much sort of personal fighting and drama over things that seem unimportant, and other cultures that have less of that. How does that evolve, and how do you deal with that?
I think the cultures that have less drama have really come to understand that drama is emotional waste, and they're really focused in their leadership on calling people up to greatness, because the reality is, any place humans are gathered, if they're toggled down and what we call ego and believe in their own thinking, there will be drama. So it's part of the human condition. It's just something that leadership traditionally has enabled rather than moved people beyond.
And as a leader, when you see drama amongst other team members, sometimes it's so hard to step into it because you don't want to get into that conflict and feel like you're picking sides or someone's going to have a tough reaction to you and so forth. How do you deal with that?
I think if people have fear, it means that they don't yet have the skill set or the competency. And so it's helping leaders first change their mindset that they don't need to pick sides, that conflict isn't negative, and that to walk by it really is stepping down and not fulfilling their position. So what we know is what you keep conversational doesn't ever need to be confrontational. And the ultimate drama diffuser is self-reflection. So the ultimate intervention is just to ask people a question like, what do you know for sure? Or if we were great right now, what would great look like? And really help them go from judging to helping with just a simple question.
How do you get people to be self-aware? Because I think your comment on that is the most right-on comment I've heard in a long time. A lot is about self-awareness. How do you get people to move to that, and can you really move them to that?
Well, self-awareness is really based on self-reflection and contemplation. And leaders need to pay specific attention to the ways that they enable people to either believe in alternative reality or they let people self-reflect on what others need to be doing. And so it's really the foundation of accountability. So when somebody comes to me to tattle on another and they're saying, well, you know, environmental services didn't come up and do what they need to do, I really just look at them and say, here's my expectation as a professional that we help not judge. What's the next thing you could do that would be most helpful in this situation? And if we do that on the daily, just as a matter of course, people are able then to do that on themselves, and they start to skip the tattling or the drama part. And so I think the way you keep people in self-reflection is you set it as an expectation, you role model it, and instead of sympathizing and colluding with, you know, how underserved we are, which is really a horrible leadership practice that too many are engaged in, we stay neutral and call people up to have the impact that they are capable of.
And talk about your firm. How did you found your firm? How did you write your books? Talk a little bit about that.
So I was a leader in healthcare and a social worker by background. And when I was promoted into leadership, I was dismayed that we practice clinically evidence-based medicine, but most of what people were practicing in leadership was disconnected to the best research in human behavior and those pieces. So I began the research that looked at conventional wisdom, like change is hard, and started to disprove those widely accepted concepts and found that change is only hard to be unready, that we need to focus on readiness, not softening the effect of change. So as I was teaching and preaching, I was contacted to write more about that. So my first book isn't I had to work hard and beg story, But I wrote that book in 2010, Reality-Based Leadership, How to Ditch the Drama and Restore Sanity to the Workplace. And it still sells hundreds each month. It's become kind of a classic. And then from there, people ask me, we know what to do with leaders.
Take a moment. Let me stop just 1 second. The name of that book again, so leaders and people could find that. The name of that book again.
Sure. That one is called Reality-Based Leadership. And it's all about ditching the drama.
Gotcha. And that's the core book. And that's what you've named your firm after, Reality-Based Leadership. I love that. And people can find it on Amazon. They can find it everywhere, I assume.
Right. And then I wrote one for individual contributors because I work with a lot of physicians and, professionals. And that one's called Reality-Based Rules of the Workplace. And then my final one is No Ego. And I'm working on another. But No Ego really helps us as a system move into a whole new reality.
Thank you. And what is the newest thinking you're doing, and what is the new book going to be about, or where does that focus on?
So the new book is really helping people not just at work, but to evolve using the universal principles we teach at work and out in the world. Our newest thinking for business is we're really looking at the power of readiness. And what's been revealed in recent times is how many organizations hadn't maintained readiness. And that crossroads with resilience. We have a ton of research on what resilience really is. And if you don't understand it and develop it, the result is increased burnout. So that crossroads where they meet is the sweet spot organizations need to be focusing on.
And how do you find that energy to retain readiness and resilience? Where do people find that, or how do they make that happen in organizations or individually?
The energy, once they understand energy, typical people, when they think they're being resilient, actually unplug, and they're like, I'll do it myself, and I'll be heroic, and I'll do heavy lifting, and it's about perseverance and stamina. And true resilience, when we studied resilient people, they were the ones with the largest network of positive relationships, and they asked for help most often. So they're willing to be vulnerable. They're willing to crowdsource, really pull in their multidisciplinary teams, really get skillful in those matrix organizations. And so when people needed resilience or readiness, they plugged into the genius of the group rather than opted out and saw themselves alone and needing to get into heroics. So the energy is there. It's about whether the person or the organization is plugging into it or not. You don't really have to create it.
When you talk about the genius of the group and reaching into it and vulnerability and so forth, is it really genius, or is it just opening yourself up enough that in large part it happens itself because you're reaching out and interacting and engaging and inventing and not so much venting negatively, but exposing yourself and opening yourself back up? Is there genius that comes back, or is it your own genius that opens up?
What I would say is that it's a collective genius, because when you're what we call toggled down and low self, you're seeing the world through ego and you're the victim and you can't have a lot of impact and things are being done to you. When you plug in and you're toggled up and you're using all of your intelligence, you're naturally creative and innovative and those things. And when you plug in from that mind space, other people respond. And the entire group, Einstein, I think, said that, together we're genius. It brings out our best thinking and our best work. And I think it's both. I think you open up your own genius, but you tap into the collective genius. I really believe together, if we get inclusive, we can do anything.
Is a lot of your work directly with leaders of organizations or for the organization itself? Who do you work with?
We work many times directly with the organization itself and with the leaders. Where we're different is we don't believe you can build shared governance without shared accountability. So we also have a lot of programming for the individual employee, whether it be onboarding or virtual training. because we really believe that they've got to understand how their mind works so they quit getting played by egos, and they've got to understand how the world works so they can kind of stop this argument with reality they have at times. And so we've been working through the organization, but what we have found out is what the people need and what the organization is able to deliver is a bit behind and outdated. So our philosophy is all about modern leadership. So we're going directly out to leaders, and they can sign up with us directly for courses and year-long group cohorts. And what we're finding is that people are really hungry for a modern version of leadership that actually works in the healthcare setting.
What a fascinating discussion and thoughts. We've got this very interesting political time where, you know, and different people have different opinions. I don't want to offend anybody, but neither leader necessarily is clearly dealing in reality-based leadership in terms of our two big presidential, you know, candidates. And that's not a knock on President Trump. It's not a knock on potential President Biden. It just seems like there's just this lack of clarity in the things that you talk about. And so let me ask you this question. When you look at the future and you look at organizations, do you have optimism about our future?
Oh, absolutely. I'm a social worker by background. We look at systems theory. And while a lot of us like to focus on growth and hustle, there's another part of the cycle that's a bit about things falling apart. And what I love about things falling apart is that we get to step up, evolve ourselves, connect with others. We get to build and design the future. So I think it's a time where leaders need to step up. We need to be offering hope. We need to be offering basically managing people's energy away from why we can't and why we shouldn't have to and who did us wrong and who thinks differently, and manage energy towards what would be amazing and how can we make that happen. And that's one of the changes with our research is people think that leaders manage people. We know that leaders manage the energy of people, and they've got to grow a whole new set of competencies, like holding space and facilitating and being able to, tend to things in a very active way, allowing them to be built. But we've got to manage energy. We've got to have the hearts and minds of people focused on how we could, not why we can't.
And so your point, I think, is magnificent, that people don't manage people. They manage people to have great energy or not great energy, and that's really the goal. And there's countless studies that show the average employee might be 30% engaged in the workforce. That number is all over the place. It might be 80%, it might be 20%. Certainly in this work-from-home virtual world, it is really all over the place, some better, some worse. But this idea of leadership, that you're managing energy, that you're really trying to create and manage energy so people are more and more self-starting and motivated and engaged, I think a huge perspective slant for a lot of us, a huge paradigm shift. I want to thank you for that. Si, let me ask you one more question. How do people reach you if they want to work with Si Wakeman, if they want to work with reality-based leadership? How do people get in touch and visit with Si Wakeman?
They can connect through our website, realitybasedleadership.com. And if they just want to get familiar with our work, follow me at Si Wakeman on any social media channel and tune into my podcast, No Ego, where we talk leadership that is completely modern and very different from what they've traditionally been taught. We'll give them a lot of new practices.
And people, No Ego, sort of this concept of what people used to refer to as a level 6 leader, higher level leader that can put their ego at the door and really be a great leader and bring out the best in others.
It's that, and it's also knowing how the mind works so that you know how to move out of primitive intelligence into kind of higher intelligence. So it's level 6 plus the ability to really create and facilitate self-awareness in everyone.
So primitive intelligence, you wouldn't categorize that as a man thing, right?
No, not at all.
I didn't know if we automatically got categorized in that field. So, intelligence, this is what we're talking about. No, I'm just kidding. Si, it is a great pleasure to visit with you. Just fascinating, and I think you're right on everything, and just great to visit with you. Thank you so much for joining the Beck Group Women's Leadership Podcast. Si Wakeman, Reality-Based Leadership, just magnificent. Thank you.
Thank you, Scott.